Okay, class, so let's get ready to start. As we prepare for the exam next week, this will be our last class until the next week for that to happen. So notes you take tonight will be a review and also some new notes to add on that'll be a quiz. So if you take the quiz, you're ready for the exam. Okay, because the questions on the quiz is going to be the same questions on your exam. Okay, so if you hadn't took the quiz, take some time between now and then to go back over the quizzes and look at it, because that's where you're going to get your questions from. Okay, so Apostle Thompson always teaches and said that the student determined how the teacher is going to teach, if you ever heard him make that phrase. And so the hunger of the student cause the teacher to dig deeper, or the lack of study causes the teacher to change his methods of teaching to engage the student to become more of a student, a study of the word, become a student of the word or a studier of the word. So tonight I'm kind of adjust my teaching by not giving you answers, and so that you'll begin to read it yourself. Okay? So that's making me adjust my teaching. All right? But it's still simple. I believe in doing it simple and not too scientific. So tonight, we went over in class, last class, we talked about culture. We talked about mindsets. Where do we get our mindsets from? What helped us develop the certain mindsets that we do have about our core beliefs, our mindsets about family value, our mindsets about health, our mindsets about ministry or the call of God on our life. Where do we get those values from? It's one of the things we answered in our quiz along with our study on last Tuesday. So, because I have adjusted my teachings are different, so I need you to give me the answer. Where do we get our mindset from? Number one, upbringing. Anybody else? Family. Get it from family. Okay. Those we grow around, our communities, our friends, is where we get mindsets from. Okay. We get those, that's where we get our mindsets from. And so in order to change those mindsets, we must change our environments. We must change our teachers in order to change our mindsets. So therefore, the author of the book took us to the point of using Abraham's life as an example of change, changing his mindset. So the author also said there were how many keys to freedom? Four. Exactly right. I'm reading your lips. There are four keys to freedom. Okay. Can somebody give me number one, freedom? What did God ask Abraham to do? Or what did God say to him? Change his name. Changing your name changes your destiny. Changes your name changes your destiny. It points you towards your destiny. Names carry destiny. King David. David was a translation of David mean king, ruler. So David, King David was destined to be a king because his name declared that he's a ruler. Okay. So Abraham meant what? Abram meant what? Not Abraham. Abram meant exalted father. He was the exalted father. So his name already had the connotation of being a father, not a normal father, but an exalted father. So God changes his name to Abraham, which means father of many nations. His name carried his identity. Also, we notice in the study that Abraham was already rich. Abraham was already rich, but God made him very rich, very rich. God will always exceed or expand you. God is always about expanding. He's always about increasing. Your life, your destiny, his plans for you is always about increasing you. So always get in your spirit. When you come to God, know that God is going to expand you. And the only way he can expand you, he must change your way of thinking. He must change the way you think. So he uses certain elements or training in life to train us, which brings us out of our culture, our environment, so we can learn new ways, new ideals, and new resources. And one of the things that we found through Abraham's life, that God always wants to bring you out of your comfort zone. Your comfort zone, the things you depend on, the things that you are familiar with. He wants to bring you out of those areas so that he could be your only source. Make a note of that. God is my only source. So the things that you have experienced since you became a Christian was designed to get you to a place of confidence, of totally relying on God as your source, not men, not jobs, not the economy, not looking at the Dow Jones and all those different type of things, people, investments, those type of things people do. God is your source. So every lesson in life since you've been born again, Christian, was designed to bring you to that revelation that God is my only source. I'm not looking for a back door out of any situation. If God don't deliver me, I won't get delivered. That must become the mindset of the believer. We saw that with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over in Daniel when they was being tested or proven to the point where the king wanted to put them into the fiery furnace. And they told the king that we're not looking for deliverance unless God deliver us. You know, if God don't deliver, we'll just burn, you know. But our God is well able to deliver us, not only out of the furnace, but out of your hand. Why? They was totally persuaded that God is my source. And so, therefore, challenges in life is designed to bring us to that revelation, to that truth, that we stand on that regardless of what. We stand on that revelation. And that's Apostle Thompson's teaching, foundation teaching, is God must become your source. God is my source, not men. Okay? The second thing God was showing Abraham, aspect that God was showing Abraham that he must do is what? Someone give me that. You must leave your country. Familiarity, your surroundings. You got to get away from it because those things have taught us our way of thinking. And if we're going to break it, we got to get away from around it. Okay. Again, in the closing paragraph on page 123, it makes this statement that I just stated in the second sentence. So the reason we must leave our comfort zone is that we must have nothing but God to fall back on if we are going to tap into the wealth of heaven. That is so powerful because we follow the apostle of finances. We follow an apostle of finances who's teaching us and training us about heaven to earth agenda. It's heaven to earth government. And it's going to take wealth to do ministry at a high level. You can be a mediocre minister, a mediocre pastor, just want to, you know, preach and go home, ain't trying to do nothing, explore, so according to Daniel. But if you want to go to reach global, national, international ministry, it's going to take wealth. Get the wealth. So God is also not only training us about how to win souls, but God is also training us how to receive wealth with purpose. Wealth with purpose and kingdom agenda. So therefore, we must have a wealth mindset. Because there's nothing I cannot have. There's nothing I cannot do. There's no place I cannot go. It's a wealth mindset, not a poverty, not a poor mindset, but a wealth mindset. that no matter what assignment God give me, wherever there's vision, there's always provisions. God never gives a man a vision without provisions. So you got to know that God will always give you an ideal. God give you a witty invention. I've got to give you also the word said, Deuteronomy 8:18, that he give us power to get wealth. He give us power to get wealth. God would always inspire you with an idea or thought or vision of how to create wealth. God never gives us money. He always give us an idea. So if you ever ask God for money, God gonna give you work. Because he never gives you money. He always give you work. He's going to give you an ideal, the power to get it, an ideal. OK, so the wealth mindset is always thinking about ideals. Small minds think people are mess, but great minds think ideals and visions. So whoever you hang out with determine how you think. They will function or develop or frame your way of thinking. It's your company. It's your family. OK, so if you want to be bigger than where you are, you believe God has put something bigger inside of you. Life is more than where you are now. Then you must change your elevation by changing your environment, changing your company. You become those you run with. OK, so let's keep that focus. Number three, the third aspect of Abraham's training is someone give me number three. Leave your family. I know it's kind of unfair for those who are on the internet because they can't answer us. And I know you got plenty of answers. So just hang in there with us. Pass the quiz. You'll pass the exam. Okay. But in fact, it was also you need to leave your family because these are the places of influence. These are the places of influence. One thing about your family is a lot of times family will not identify with your office or your successes. They always remember with the family ties, the soul tie they have with you, and never your successes or your office. So it doesn't matter if you become rich and you become an awesome pastor or awesome evangelist, an apostle or whatever, and all your achievement, whatever, to them, you're just, yeah, you just whatever your name is, Lejeune. That's all you are. You know, that's how they think. That's how they think. They'll never identify with your office. So we saw that in Jesus' ministry. The Bible says when Jesus returned back to his hometown, he could not do many miracles because of the unbelief. They did not see who he became or who he was. God had called him to be and empowered him to be. They saw him as Mary and Joseph's son, the carpenter's son. And because they could not identify with his exalted position, they could not receive from his level. And so whenever you become familiar with a person, the spirit of familiarity with a person, you cannot receive that level of his grace on his life. That's why we must never become familiar with Apostle Thompson. We must never become familiar. We must respect that line at all times, respect his office at all times, because he carries a grace. He carries a grace, and we must respect it. And if we want to receive the supernatural, we want to see that the tangible, the finances on our life, then we must respect and honor that grace on his life at all times. He's never Leroy to us. He's Apostle Thompson. He's Dr. Thompson. He's Dad Thompson. You see, that level of respect has to always be there at all times. No matter what the conversations are, who we with, it always got to be there. You know, you're getting people to my, oh, that's the money man. That's Leroy Thompson. No, that's Dad Thompson. You see, you're going to bring the anger about me already. No, we respect and honor that anointing that's on his life. You know, so that has to be in place at all times. At all times. Those you got local pastors who are following apostle, you got to honor your man of God and your royal family in that church. You got to honor that, put honor upon that. Okay, so God will remove them from you or remove you from them. He will cause a removal when you get too familiar. Okay. There was something there. I want you to go back a second on page 122, the last paragraph. There's something I want you to pinpoint. In the last paragraph, miller ways, where it says, through your life also, through your life also. See that? Says, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That is what you are carrying in your DNA. That's what you are carrying in your DNA. That is what you are carrying in your father's name and in your identity as a child of the Most High God. The same assignment, the same DNA, the same anointing that was on Abraham's life is on our life. And Jesus sealed that over in Galatians 3, that he became a curse for us. Curses in the man that hang on a tree, you know, and Jesus hung on the tree so that the blessings of Abraham could come upon us. The promises can come up, or the Holy Spirit can come upon us. So therefore, through Christ, we receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. Through Abraham, we receive the promise of financial wealth. You see, so you got to understand that we have a double anointing, and the anointing on Jesus is strongly upon us so we can fulfill the assignment he gave to Abraham. You are anointed to prosper. You are anointed to be rich. You are anointed for this assignment. And every believer must come to recognition with this and acceptance of this. The reason why God got these ideals on the inside of me, the reason why there's unrest on the inside of me is because there's an assignment on my life. And that assignment is to fulfill this assignment that God gave to Abraham to cause him to be prosperous so all the families of the earth could be blessed. So now I've been created and called to be a channel of blessing. God want to channel some things through me, not only for me, but through me, because everything he gives me is not for me. There are some people God want me to bless. By blessing people, buying them houses, putting them in a position where not only training them, but causing these things to happen, it changes their life. It changes their life. You think a meal, just feeding somebody, make a poor man or a homeless man happy? Buy him a house. Buy him a car. It changes his life. It changes his life to a greater level. And that's what God is trying to give you, more wealth so you can change people's lives forever. Forever. Not just for a day, for the rest of their life. You impact them for the rest of their life. And that's why God wants you to have the money. That's why he wants you to have it. And so once we understand these four principles that God was given to Abraham to leave his country, to leave his family, and to change his name, and the last one was, again, to leave, number four, I'll let you answer it, leave his father's house. Leave his father's house. Because his strongest influence on Abraham's life was his dad. That was the strongest influence on his life. Now, you realize Abraham was a pagan. He was raised up being pagan. Pagans were those who, during Abraham's time, they were those who offered their children as sacrifices. So when God told Abraham to offer up Isaac, it was a strange thing to him. Why? He came out of a culture that offered up children as an offering. So when God said, Abraham said, okay, fine, let's go. I came out of that culture. But God was proving his heart because Abraham never had a child to offer. He always offered goats and bullocks and all those type of things. But this time he had a child of his own, of his old age, to offer up. And that was a greater sacrifice. He waited 25, almost 100 years to get that child. So that's a greater sacrifice on his part. But through obedience and through the three and four steps he did to get there, his mindset was now transformed that he can obey God at the drop of a hat. He can obey God at the drop of a hat. He didn't question it. He didn't even ask Sarah, could I take the boy? He just got up and said, look, we're going. You know, because why? He knew that going to be an argument. So he got up, got the baby ready, got packed up. He just left. It's time to obey God. It's time to obey God. But then the Bible says in Romans 4 that he was totally persuaded, totally confident. God, you're my only source. You're my only source. Not the wealth, not the animals, not the workers, not even this child is my source. You're my source. And that's where you got to come in life as you grow in the kingdom of God and as God can develop us with a kingdom mindset that he can trust us with wealth that we've never seen before, never had before, you know, money just hanging around in the bank, you know, stuff like that, money meeting money, you know, in the poor house, two checks never meet each other. You know, it's spent before Friday, you know, whenever the paycheck is, you know, every 2 weeks you got to start all over again, whatever like that. But put you in a place where you got more than enough where money just meet money, you know, crazy money, you know, money for kingdom assignment. That's what God want to take us, that you can go anywhere at any time, get anything at any moment without question what it costs. There's a cliche that says in the world, if you ever ask what it costs, it's evident you can't afford it. You know, you can't afford it. So when a waiter comes to the table and you ask her and she asks you, well, we say, what is the main course of the day or the main meal of the day? And she go, blah, 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 blah. Well, it's costing $25. Nah, let's find some turkey wings or something cheaper. You know why? Because if you ever ask what it costs, evident you can't afford it. See, wealthy people never ask costs because they always know they can afford it. It's the idea is what I desire and what I want. And what I want. Not that wealthy people are not good negotiators. They are. But they already know I got the money to pay for it at whatever level it's on. You see? So we got to think, changing our mindset. Okay. So for the next 18 minutes or so, you got those things down. Okay. So you're sharp. You're ready. Let me move you to page 129. Page 129. And we're going to kind of understand the mindset here between the three classes that our nation have divided us in, or the world has divided us in. You're either poor, or you're middle class, or you're wealthy. You're either poor, middle class, or you're wealthy. Okay? In Africa, you either dirt poor or wealthy. Ain't no middle class. You just there. You just there. Okay? So, but Africa is coming up, though. They're coming up. I mean, people, the mindset is shifting. You know, so we call them third world countries. The mindset is shifting. You got to change your mindset. Okay? So, since we are in one of the most powerful countries on the planet, then we should be people of empowerment. We should be people of empowerment. So poverty is not a financial condition. Poverty is a mindset condition. It's a mindset condition. So we got to get that in our spirit. So when we see people poor, we see people out with signs, they may have some kind of tragic situation, but they're really there by choice. They are really there by choice. They have made a choice to be there. So therefore, it's a mindset. So if you change your mind or change your thinking, you change your world. As a man thinketh, so is he. So if I change my thinking, I change my world. So that's why God is trying to give us a mindset change. Romans 12, 1 and 2 and 3. So powerful what God tells us, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. We kept dealing with the mind. John 3, 2, he said, beloved, above all things, I wish you prosper, be in health, even as your soul prosper, your mind prosper. A prosperous mind, prosperous thinking, prosperous confession, prosperous thinking. If you change your mind, you change your world. Okay, so that's key. That's key. So in this framework for understanding poverty, by Rubik K. Payne, this PhD, she uses this chart to reveal the mindset of thinking of the three levels of people, the poverty level, the middle class, and the wealthy. So she uses the illustration about how we think about possessions, how we think about possessions. You see, the poverty mind only think people. They only think people. Middle class thinks things. And the wealthy are one-of-a-kind objects. Okay? The different mindsets of them, poor people only engage people. They're only engaged people. They are not thinking about things. They are not thinking about the greater, better things of life, the more expensive things of life, the extravagance of life. They only think about, you know, having barbecues every weekend, those type of things. You know, they just want to hang out with family. That's all they want to do, hang out with friends. You know, just hanging out type of atmosphere. They're not thinking about advancing their life. Just hanging out, working from Friday to Friday, just working for the weekend. That's all they're out there to do, the part of the weekend. It's the poverty mindset, the poverty mindset. But a middle class person always thinking about possessing things, possessing things. They're always thinking about how can I get this or get that? Or how can I afford those type of things? That's middle class thinking. But the rich always think about, I want to get something nobody else got. Why? Because rich people many times are thinking about impressing his peers. This guy here buy a jet, this guy buy one bigger. This guy buy here an 8-bedroom house, oh, I'm going to buy me an 11-bedroom house. You see, they're always thinking about, that's the way the wealthy think. They exclusive. Being in an exclusive club among the elite. The elite. You know, even though we are pastors, we don't think like that, the elite, because God called us to the ministry of people. The ministry of people. So no matter how much wealth we possess, our ministry is people. But we also to train them up to think wealthy. It's for the assignment that God put on our life and to live wealthy, to think wealthy, to confess wealthy, the wealth mindset. So they're always thinking about one-of-a-kind objects, okay? Also, it says the poverty thinks about money. This is how they think about money, to be used and spent, to be used and spent. The poverty mindset always think about money is to spend it. You know, again, I mean, man, when I get paid this week, I'm going to get me some weave in. You know, I'm going to buy this. I'm going to buy that. You know, it's always thinking about spending money, not circulating money, spending money. The word spent, Apostle taught us, the word spent means gone. Circulate means coming back to you. So in the kingdom, we're circulating money because everything we do, we're investing or we're sowing into people's lives. We're sowing and investing into people's lives. So therefore, we expect a return on our investments. In our sowing, we expect a return on it. So poverty, the poverty mindset is always thinking about spending money. Okay? The middle class thinks about how to be a manager of money. How to manage money. You know, they're thinking about savings account. They're thinking about their emergency accounts. They're thinking about the kids' scholarship account. They're thinking about how to manage their money to make it work for them. How to work for them. Okay. He said the wealthy think about to be conserved or invested. To conserve it or invest it. Meaning conserving it means a good man leaving inheritance for his children. Children. How can I put this money to a use for future advancement? How can I invest it to make it make more money? To make my money work for me instead of me working for it. It's a way of thinking. It's a way of thinking. So we'll change our mindset. So when we get our paychecks this weekend, we got to think about our wealth, what we want to invest it, where we want to make it grow. How do I make this grow? How do I increase it? And one of the things Dad Thompson tells us about sowing. You got to sow. Sowing is the way out. He said, I sold my way out. Sold my way out of debt and sold my way into prosperity in the kingdom of God. So sowing is a way of investing for the children of God. For the children of God. Yes, absolutely. Okay. So it's number three talks about personality. The personality of the poor. How people are poor think about their personality. It's for entertainment. Sense of humor is highly valued among the poor. It's for entertainment. And so poor people are always thinking about entertainment. Always. Not investing, not future long term. It's always about entertaining. You know, we dress to impress. So we do it all the time. Constant entertain people. And so we gotta understand that we wasn't here to entertain people. we're not here for that. Okay, we're here to build people. We're here to change people's life. lives. So we're not here to entertain them. So getting out of the entertainment mindset is something we're about to work on. And we can talk about that further once we get past the quiz here, the quiz and the exam. The middle class is for acquisitions and stability. Achievement is highly valued. Among the middle class, having achievement is highly valued. Okay, to live in a nice neighborhood, to drive a nice car, a reliable car, you know, put my kids in private school. You know, it's about achievement, prestige, achievement, okay, in the middle class. You know, I'm not poor, even though I'm not even rich, but I'm right here in the middle, okay? I'm not as low as you, but I'm not as high as you neither, you know? But it's living in a place where it's achievement is what that was a high value among the middle class. It's about achievement, okay? To achieve some things, okay? This is how the wealthy think. The wealthy thing is for connections. They're looking for connection in their personality, connection. They understand that the power of connections is so valued among the wealthy because they understand that my influence of those who I'm connected to, when you connect to me and we become covenant brothers and covenant sisters in the things of when we're as wealth concerning and getting things done and making stuff happen, people I know now become your connection. The people you know now become my connection. It's the power of connection. We're talking about, man, you know what? I need something done. I need to construct this building. I need an architect and help with this building. Oh, man, I got a friend can do that for you. It's the power of connection. It's the power of connection. The architect don't know me, but he know you. And based on your connection with me and your trust value with me, he trusts me based on you. It's the power of connection. So Dad Thompson is always teaching us about connection. It's about your connection. When you're properly connected, what's on that man's life comes on your life. It's proper connection. And that's why Lot didn't let Abraham leave home without him. He said, I ain't staying back with our crazy uncles. No, I'm going with you. Because something is on you. You know, I'm going to follow you. And he became what Abraham was. You see, it's a power of connection. So wealthy people always think about connection. They ain't thinking about money. They got money. They need connection. It's called favor. When you're in favor and your connection, they will favor you. And it causes you less because of your connection than it was if you had to go hire somebody you didn't know, that don't know you. You're not connected to. A friend said, oh, man, I got this for you. You know, it ain't going to cost you that much. We're going to take care of this. He's always looking out for your best interest. That's the power of connection. It's the power of connection. Okay. He said, it's for connection, financial, political, social connection, and highly value among the wealthy. It's power of connection. Power of connection. You know, when you know somebody and you're wealthy and you got connection with a judge or an attorney or somebody, you know, and something go down, you said, listen, call a judge. He'll take care of it. Oh, I got that. No worry about it. You ain't got to come to court. We'll handle that. Power connection. But a poor man going straight in front of that judge. He going straight to that judge. Why? He has no connection. He has no influence. And he have no money. He has no money. You know, not that OJ didn't do it. He had money to get out. You see, it's the power of connection. It's the power of influence. You know, that may be a true or false statement. I'm just saying that, okay? You know, so. You know, money makes a difference. Influence and connection make a difference. Okay, let's look at our closing two, social. Among the poor, social is inclusive of people they like. Among the social, emphasis among the poor is social. The poor is inclusive of people they like. See, the poor is always trying to get people to like them, to engage them. They're always looking for people to gather around them just to like them. Okay? And so they're not picky about who they engage. They're not choosy about who they engage because they don't have influence. They don't have power or wealth. You know, it's like a beggar can't be choosy. You know, it's like you meet somebody, you know, and said they're in front of McDonald's, they want something to eat, you know, and stuff like that. And you bring them a breakfast out and he chooses, I don't want no breakfast, give me the money. Right. How you going to be choosy?
I'm hungry.
You know, so the mindset, it's the mindset. Okay, so in the poverty mindset is people are always inclusive. They're inclusive. They're in the crowd. They want to be in the crowd, the in crowd, always trying to influence people to like them. Okay, in the middle class, and we're closing, emphasis is on self-government and self-sufficiency. The middle do not want to be dependent on nobody. They don't want to depend on society. They don't want to be dependent on someone taking care of them. They want to be independent. So they work hard to stay independent. Don't want to borrow from nobody, so they're indebted to nobody. Okay? So they're all about themselves. They're about themselves. But then, closing with the wealthy, the wealthy is emphasized on social exclusion. Meaning, we're an elite group. Can't everybody come over here? We're going to get in a community with a fence around it, with some policemen surrounding it. You know, our property value gonna start at $1 million, so on a certain crowd could come around. Okay, so so they're thinking about exclusive, not inclusive. So they're thinking about we're gonna build ourselves in a society just us. You know why? Because with all us got, ain't nobody gonna try to break in nobody's house. You know, there was a time among the poor we used to be able to leave home with our doors unlocked. You can't do that now. You know, but in a wealth community where everybody got, you still can walk out the door and leave the door unlocked and take and go live in another part of the country for 3 months and come back home and everything's still intact. Why? Who trying to steal? We all got. We all got. So that becomes the mindset. So rich people are exclusive and not inclusive. They're looking to put themselves on an island pretty much with just us. With just us on it. Okay. Okay, so, all right, we got 2 minutes and 42 seconds. What can I do? Okay, let's close with this one. Food. I love this one. Food. Oh, man, this is so good. Food. Poor people think about quantity most important among the poor. Quantity is more important among the poor. That's why people go to buffets. You see, people love buffets, you know, especially when we had poor folks and we had Ryan's, you know, those places in our community. I mean, people go there, man, 4 and 5 trips to the table. What you doing? No, why? Because we're thinking about quantity and not quality. So we go, we can pay less so we can get more. But the middle class think about quantity is most important to them. Quality is more important to them. Is I want to buy an outfit that's going to last me, so when I put it in the cleaner, it's not going to shrink. The material, if I wash it, is not going to shrink on me. I need quality material because it lasts longer. It's a difference between going to a Dollar Tree and a Dollar General and buying a comb with 100 tooths in it, and you start pulling it, and all of a sudden you start breaking tooths. When you start breaking tooth, you can't get mad because you only bought a dollar. You didn't buy quantity, you bought quality, you bought quantity. It's how you were shopping. Okay? So that becomes the difference. Okay? So when we become wealthy, the wealthy always think about impressing. You know, they go buy not a T-bone, but this small steak. Yeah, one of those, you know, filet mignon, and pay $35, $50 for it, and the guy and put some mustard design, some ketchup design, and cut a leaf from somewhere and put on the plate, and you done paid $50 for it. Man, why? Because he's thinking about the expression, the look of it is more value to him. Okay? And so it becomes a mindset change. So when you walk through the store now, you're not looking for blue light specials. You know, because that's just going to tell on you, you know, how you think. It's the mindset change. OK, listen, I love you. So get ready for the quiz. We'll get this online for you and get ready for the exam and just hang over class because the other class is going to meet us again. And so we're hanging here and we're going to see a teaching from Apostle Thompson. Okay, love y'all. See y'all in about 2 weeks. All right. God bless you.